Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
During this Easter season, I have to greet you with those words, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we give thanks to the Lord for all of His blessings, for guiding us, strengthening us, for being with us here today as we gather in His house. He feeds us on His word. He feeds us at His table. And we also find strength as we gather together with one another. That reminder that we are not alone. There's a reason that He has placed us in a church, that He has made us His people, that He has brought us together, and He's promised that when we come together in worship and praise, He is here with us. I believe most of the announcements are in the bulletin, but just a reminder, it is time to renew subscriptions to Lutheran Witness. Reminder also of the upcoming Ascension Day service on Thursday, May 14th. And I believe the other announcements are pretty much in the bulletin, so we just pray that the Lord will bless you as we come together now in worship and praise. We will begin our worship singing our opening hymn, 465, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds.
Christ has triumphed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We join together now in the responsive speaking of Psalm 146. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes.
In a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth.
The sea and all that is in them.
Who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed. Who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Our God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you made the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. There they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great works and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, please rise for the Alleluia and verse and the reading of the Gospel.
Alleluia, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak together the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Be seated. Our worship continues with the children's message. I'd like to have them come and join me. How are you today? Fine. You're good. You're fine. And I'm glad to hear it. And I'm sure glad to see all of you here today. Jesus said in our gospel lesson, if you heard it a few moments ago, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus said that he is the way. He is the only way. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to eternal life. He says, I am the truth. And what is truth? Well, it's truth. Yeah, you're right. It's being true. It's what is, what really is true.
It is telling the truth.
Yeah, we're supposed to tell the truth, right? Because if you're not telling the truth, what are we saying? What are we telling?
A lie.
We're telling a lie. And that's not a good thing. We know that that's a sin.
For example, I ate a cookie out of the bowl.
You ate a cookie out of the bowl?
And I said, Hattie ate the cookie out of the bowl.
Oh! So that's not a good thing. To do something we're not supposed, well, first of all, we shouldn't do something we're not supposed to do. And then we certainly don't want to blame other people and get them in trouble for something that we have done. So next time we'll eat cookies when it's the right time to eat cookies. and we can admit it. Yeah, I ate the cookie. And Jesus also said that he is the life. And he is the one who shows us how to have eternal life. We have a joyous life here with him, but he's also promised that after we die, we will go to heaven and be with him forever. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, I brought along a car key. And, oh, I don't know whose car key this is. So I thought maybe what we should do is we could go out in the parking lot and try it in every car. You think that would be a good idea?
Yeah.
See which one it would work in. But I tell you what, I don't think we're going to do that this morning. But you would find out that this key, would it open all the cars?
No.
It would only work in one. One special key for one special vehicle. Except maybe for one. And now, think about it. Key only works in one car.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So how many ways are there to get to heaven?
One.
One. That's for us to remember. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus, who loved us enough to come here and to be with us and to die for us and to come back to life for us, so that we have that promise that we can be with him forever.
Yeah, and to help us.
And to help us, you're right.
Yeah.
And that's all for this morning. I want to thanks for coming up. And we join in singing the hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, no merit of mine.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From 1 Peter, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. This is our text. This morning I have a list of deep thoughts for you. They were allegedly, written by young people, ages 4 to 15. Some of them are hilarious in a bizarre kind of way. Here's one by a youngster, age 10. He says, my young brother asked me, what happens after we die? I told him that we get buried under a bunch of dirt and worms eat our bodies. Well, I guess I should have told him the truth, that most of us go to hell and burn eternally, but I didn't want to upset him. Some brother. Or this by a young person says, I once heard the voice of God. It said, vroom, unless it was just a lawnmower. Or this one. I believe that you should live each day as if it's your last. And that's why I don't have any clean laundry, because come on, who wants to wash clothes on the last day of their life? Or this one. Often when I'm reading a good book, I stop and thank my teacher. That is, I used to, until she got an unlisted phone number. And one last one. One 13-year-old did a takeoff of the famous Serenity Prayer. And he writes, "Give me the strength to change the things that I can, the grace to accept the things that I cannot, and a great big bag of money." Deep thoughts. But the sad thing about that last one is that really is the guiding philosophy of many people today. Give me the strength to change the things I can, the grace to accept the things that I cannot, and a great big bag of money. Today, we want to focus on Peter's epistle. I want you to remember that this letter was written to people who were victims of persecution. Many of them would die horrible deaths. And yet the writer is full of encouragement and hope. In today's lesson, he gives them and us a foundation on which to build a satisfying life. He writes, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." I want you to notice how the writer of this epistle exalts the lives of his readers. He calls them living stones in God's spiritual house and a holy priesthood. They're being persecuted, but he is exhorting them that their lives are important. He's a cheerleader, a coach, a motivational speaker, all wrapped up into one. Basically saying, don't give up. That's what he's saying. Because you are making a difference. And you came to this hour for the purpose of glorifying God. So don't let up now. I want to take you back to the year 1980. I know we just recently had the Olympics. And did you watch the hockey games? Yeah, we were able to. And I'm thinking, our NHL players beat their NHL players. Because it seems like all the professional players seem to be playing on all the different teams from all over the world. But back in 1980, the amazing thing was that the U.S. hockey team, which was made up of all amateurs, they won a gold medal. They shocked the world by upsetting the powerful Soviet team. And then they grabbed the championship from Finland while the crowd chanted USA. And before this team's victory over the Soviet Union, which brought them into the finals, the coach of the US hockey team told his players, "You are born to be a player. You are meant to be here at this time. This is your moment." And you know, that's how I read these words from 1 Peter. They're words of encouragement and words of hope. He was saying to them and to us, don't get discouraged because your life has meaning, it has purpose, and God is using your life to build a great spiritual house. God has chosen you to be a holy priesthood. And so never say about your life that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. Because you are part of something that's something greater than you can possibly imagine. Peter was saying to his readers that even though their lives lack much in the things that the world treasures, that they were the most fortunate people of all, for they had meaning to their lives. They had a purpose. They had a reason for living. We are living stones, says Peter, being built up to a spiritual house. And the cornerstone of that spiritual house is Christ himself. You know, there are a whole lot of foundations on which you can build a life. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Of course, you could build a life on greed, on hedonism. You could build it on a lust for power and fame. I mean, the list of possible foundations is unending. Back during the Cold War, there used to be an acronym that the CIA came up with to say that there were four reasons why a Russian spy might defect to the West. And that acronym was MICE, M-I-C-E, which stood for money, ideology, compromise, and ego. And any of those things, he said, might motivate someone to sell out their country. MICE. Those are just a few of the foundations that a person might choose to build his or her life on. But I'm going to tell you right now that none of those foundations will endure. But yet you're certainly free to choose them. I mean, there are all kinds of foundations from which to choose. And God has given us the freedom to choose whatever foundation we will. And he's not going to interfere. If we want to spend our lives chasing the almighty dollar, we're free to do so. If our goal is perpetual pleasure, then we have that right. I mean, we could even spend our lives rebelling against everything that we've been taught, if that's our desire. Many foundations that you could build your life on. However, I believe that wise people understand that some foundations can endure, because all foundations are not created equal. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And so I just want to say, not all foundations are equal. You understand that, don't you? However, we're still free to choose any foundation that we like. We can make financial security the foundation. We can make the esteem of our family and friends the foundation. I mean, those things are good in and of themselves. We can pursue power and prestige, all kinds of different choices. However, there is but one cornerstone that will not fail, and that cornerstone is Christ. Do you remember the hymn that we just sang? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And any good architect in Jesus' day could tell you that the cornerstone was the most essential piece of a building's foundation. The cornerstone was the beginning of the foundation, and it provided the strength on which to build everything else. And so the writer of our lesson for today is saying to us that Christ is the only enduring foundation for a satisfying life. William Lutz tells the story of his uncle, who was stationed in the Philippines during the end of World War II. And one day, in the middle of the battle, a local Philippine bank was hit by mortar fire, and the vault exploded, and it released piles of money into the streets. and excited American soldiers began scooping up arms full of cash. But their joy turned to dismay when they discovered that the money was Japanese occupation money. And now that Japan had given up occupation of the Philippines, that money was worthless. I mean, just a few months before, that lucky accident would have made the soldiers rich. But now, they were using stacks of bills to create campfires. So what was once so valuable lost all of its worth. And eventually, that's what happens to the cornerstones of this world. Each of them crumble. They perish. They dry up. They're left behind. But only one foundation is eternal. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, says Peter, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." So the only cornerstone that's not going to ultimately disappoint you is the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Would you please rise? Gracious and loving God, we come before you this day offering up thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, as we bring our offerings, we return just a portion of the blessings you have showered upon us. And we pray that you make them useful for the work of your church. We pray for the proclamation of your word. And we pray for your Spirit to work in that word in the ears of all who hear it, that one day all people will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all God's adopted children in Christ, that they would long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ministers of the word, that they may be devoted to their task and to prayer. And for many servants in God's church, that neither the preaching nor the care of his people may fall into neglect, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, that they would raise up their children to know Christ as their help and hope, and not put their trust in princes in whom there is no salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good government, for Donald Trump, our president, the Congress of the United States, Michael DeWine, our governor, and all civil servants, that they may honor the holy God, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have requested our prayers. Especially we remember Todd and Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Gary and Todd, Bill and Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Norma, Ron and Vicky, Kyle and Marilyn, Renee and Michelle, Diana and Jordan, Ray and Linda, Keith and Ralph, and all of those others, Lord, who we raise up before you in our hearts. That the Father of glory, whose Son declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, would give them a sure and steadfast hope in him who has prepared a place for them where pain and sickness are no more and all things are made new. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all of the blessings that you shower upon us in our homes and in our lives. And Lord, we especially want to raise up in our prayers Randy and Diane Roars, who yesterday celebrated their 51st wedding anniversary. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessings that you've shown to them and pray that you continue to be an ever-present part of their homes, strengthening them in love toward each other and in love toward you. And Lord, we pray for the church, God's chosen race, royal priesthood, and holy nation, that he would preserve us by this sacrament in true faith as the people of his own possession. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for Stephen, whom Christ has received into glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and love, in imitation of the church's first martyr, that we may speak Christ's truth with boldness, forgive those who persecute us and fall asleep in Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To him we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Would you please rise? Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Take with you now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Today I'm going to ask that you remain standing for the closing hymn, which is Stand Up for Jesus, hymn number 660.
Stand up, stand up.